I am Patrick Cooley, pastor of Vernon First United Methodist Church, and you are listening to First Today. God is starting something new in you. Thank you for listening to First Today. We will continue this week looking at Luke chapter 6, taking a deep dive into Jesus' teachings on what it means to be a disciple. What does the disciple of Jesus Christ, what does that person's life look like? Basically, what does it mean to be, or what defines a person as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus? And so we started this discussion several weeks ago, kind of talking about how our knowledge of theology and our knowledge of the underpinnings of things, of baptism or of whatever, doesn't really make us a Christian. It doesn't really make us a follower of Jesus. Well, it may make us a Christian, but it doesn't necessarily make us a disciple of Jesus Christ. And this is where Luke chapter 6 is so vitally important. And actually a very easy answer to the question of, well, what am I supposed to do as a Christian? As we kind of touched on last week, it is doing, it is in our deeds, it is in our actions that we define and show the world that we are disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. And that is in keeping, actually, with what Jesus says to his own disciples, that they will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love each other. Not by the holding the same creed, not by knowing this knowledge or this knowledge or that knowledge or this principle or that principle, but how you conduct yourself as a follower of Jesus. That's how people know that you are mine. So last week we took a closer look at the Sermon on the Plain, beginning in Luke chapter 6, verse number 20, and all of the blesseds. Blessed are you who are poor, blessed are you who are hungry, blessed are you who are weeping. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and insult you and denounce you, your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. And what we talked about last week is that this is really about dependence upon God. Those that are blessed are those people that depend upon God, and it allows them to go out and live in the way that Jesus prescribes. It allows them to trust in God, and it allows them to trust that God is going to provide for them so that they can do the will of God. And I pointed out last week that in John's gospel, very often Jesus repeats that it's those people who do the will of God, those people who are righteous, those will be the ones that inherit eternal life. And so these that are poor and hungry and weeping, these that are picked last for the sports team, these that are excluded, these that are denounced, these are the people that are more capable and more able of doing the deeds that God has asked them to do. The rich and those that are filled and those that are popular and those that are well treated, those that Jesus says, oh, a woe to you. I don't think he's saying here that if you have money, it's an evil thing. I think this is all talking about dependence. The poor and the hungry, those that are rejected and dejected, those that are weeping and sad, those people can only depend upon God. And as they depend upon God, as we depend upon God, we are blessed. But if we can depend upon anything else, if we're wealthy in money, if we're wealthy in fame, we're wealthy in friends, we're wealthy in all of these things that we can depend upon, well, then when the tough times come, I think I mentioned this last week, when the tough times come, what are we depending upon if not ourselves? We have a tendency when we are rich to depend upon what we can do in our strength or in our intellect. We have a tendency to depend upon not God, but our own wits. I tied this in this past Sunday in my sermon with Jeremiah 17, with the comparison of the bush and the tree. The bush in the desert that is struggling by its own power to stay alive, and it's just small and meager and barely gets by and doesn't realize when God gives relief to it because it's struggling and working so hard to survive. But then there's the tree that's planted by the water, that the water and the river supports, and it helps it grow, and it's just at ease. And it is not anxious because it trusts that that water was always going to provide for it. And so Jeremiah says, those who trust in the Lord are like this tree that produce fruit in season, and its leaves never turn brown, and it is not anxious when the drought comes because it's depending upon God and recognizes that all of its provisions are from God and not from the flesh, not from itself. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at here. Those that can do nothing but trust in God are those who have traditionally trusted only in themselves and in what they can do in the flesh, that there will come a time when drought will come. Who is going to be blessed and who is going to be woed? You know, that's really what this statement's all about, I think, this sermon on the plain. Now, these people that Jesus says are blessed, what is this life that will lead to them being excluded? What is this life that will lead to them, that will lead them into hunger or into poverty? What is this life that will lead them to be rejected and those that will be denounced on account of the Son of Man? What does that life look like? And I think this is where verses 27 on to the end of the chapter, kind of, they tell us this is the life that the disciple, the one who will be blessed, this is the life that they will lead. And living this life and leading this life, I believe, causes a lot of people in the world to kind of look at a Christian like they're crazy. Because the things that Jesus says a Christian is called to do are things that most of the world considers to be absolute lunacy very often. And we're going to start taking a look at that here right now. But to you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the grateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as also your Father is merciful. So here's the first block of the life of a disciple. This is the first block of a life that leads to being blessed. And I think just in this, we can see a tie-in to those first four blessings that Jesus has at the beginning. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are now hungry. Blessed are you who are now weeping. Blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you. We have the disciple turning the other cheek. We have the disciple not willing to give tit for tat. We have the disciple responding to attacks in a way that the world would never expect one or demand a person to respond. And I think that's a very important thing for us to consider here. When someone insults you, how do you respond? And this turning of the other cheek, regardless of what some people are, it's not turning around your hind cheek toward folks. It's seeking to not react to them in the same way that they have treated you. It is seeking to avoid retaliation. And I think that's something that we need to really pay attention to and consider in our lives how often we are prompted by even our loved ones to retaliate to people that have done us wrong. How often it is and how regularly we are encouraged to take anger and retribution as the way that we respond to people who mistreat us and who do us wrong and who curse us. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. And this isn't praying that the Lord God send them to hell to burn for all eternity. That would kind of be missing Jesus's point here entirely, I think. Give to the person and not expect anything back. If a person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. So these first ones, verses 27, 28, and 29, all revolve around responding to the mistreatment of others, responding to how other people treat us. And essentially, you know, Jesus is stepping away here from an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, which is sadly the way that the world expects us to react. The world expects us to say, hey, you know, if you slap me, I'm going to slap you back. Now, there are some people that argue that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is actually a mitigating thing to what it used to be. It used to be you slap me and I kill you and your family. And you know, there is some truth to scholars' belief about this thing. But Jesus is taking this to a next level. Jesus is taking this to something that I think is very much more applicable to our lives today. How do we respond in work situations or in school situations or in public? How about Christmas time, you know, the day after Thanksgiving when you decide to go to the mall and see how people treat each other and maybe how people treat you? I really think these first verses address and can address and are meant to address daily living. Not something so horrible as someone breaking into your house and shooting everybody. Not so much the person that comes into your town or your village or wherever it is you may be and begins the process of, you know, blowing folks away. I think this is really addressed at daily living. And how do you and I as disciples choose to treat and engage and relate to the people that we encounter, particularly in these first three verses, to people that treat us badly, people that treat us unfairly and harshly for no reason other than the fact that they want to treat us harshly and unfairly. So let me read those first three one more time. But to you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. So how do you choose to respond? This is what tells the world that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not something that I do particularly well. I very much don't respond to these things very well when bad things happen. Gets a little temper. It's not a matter of being perfect. It's not a matter of always being able to carry this out, but it's a matter of desiring to carry it out. It's a matter of attempting to carry it out. It's a matter of attempting to turn the other cheek. It's a matter of attempting to pray for those who mistreat us. It's a matter of blessing those who blessing those who curse us. And I don't think it is Sister Act. Well, bless you. I don't think that's what it is. I think it is earnestly seeking the best in our prayers and in our speaking to others for those that would hurt us, those that would mistreat us, those that would do us wrongly, those who would reject us on account of our love and our seeking to be something better and higher, seeking to be our higher selves, seeking to live in a way that does not mesh with what the society around us says is truly important. And I think that this is the point of being a Christian. This is the point of being a disciple. It's not just about being a member of the body of Christ. It's not just about living as part of a church and going and showing up on a Sunday and saying the words and giving the money and hearing the words spoken by a pastor and singing some songs and then leaving and going back out into the world and then immediately treating the server at the restaurant you go to for lunch like dirt. That's not what being a disciple is. This is. And it's really, and in this first part, I think these first three verses are actually very, very difficult to do. And I think they're really the heart of this. Loving our enemies is really at the core of what it means to respond to and follow Jesus Christ. If you recall, he tells the rich young ruler that comes to him that he tells him to take, ultimately, he says, you have to do this, this, and this, and then you have to take up your cross and follow me. Well, what is taking up our crosses to follow if it's not taking up our crosses as Jesus took up his? The willingness to lay down our lives, to set aside our interests for the sake of the other, to set aside our own well-being for the well-being of somebody else, specifically our enemies, those that have desires and needs that are opposite our own. These people that we are willing to say, you know, I don't really agree with you, but I am willing to lay down my life for you. And I know that you don't like me, and I know that you would rather me be gone. but I'm going to see to it that I will give of myself so that you might live wholly and fully and completely." We see this in churches all the time. We see it going on right now in the United Methodist Church. We see people with differing ideas and differing agendas, and I'm afraid that there's very little discipleship going on when it comes to these things, because the core of the disciple is to bless those who curse us, to pray for those who mistreat us. The core of being a disciple is to not withhold from the person who takes your cloak, your tunic. It is to consider the needs of the other as more important than your own needs. And we covered that several episodes ago and took a little brief look at Philippians chapter 2, I believe it is. And I think that if it's not Philippians chapter 2, then somebody can text me or send me a comment where we're told to consider the needs of a brother or sister as more important than your own. And I don't see that happening very often in our churches today. I don't see that happening very often in our institutional life, and it's not really apparently encouraged. But what I encourage you to do, and what I hope that those of you that know me personally would encourage me to do, is to, on a personal level, respond in this way to those that are my enemies. Respond in this way to those who seek to do me harm, those who have an agenda opposite of mine. Be willing to set aside my agenda and my well-being and what I want for their sake, because that's what Jesus did for us. This will lead to being blessed. It will lead to us being hungry. It will lead to us being poor. It'll lead to us weeping. It will lead to us being rejected and insulted and excluded. But it will also lead to our blessing. It will also lead to our blessing. And I think we need to remember that. Because as we do these things to our attackers, we aren't entrusting the response to our own power. We aren't resting in the flesh. What we're doing here is we are entrusting ourselves to God, and we are allowing God and God's Spirit to work and to do amazing things. Because if we don't believe the Holy Spirit can transform the person who curses us, if we don't believe that the Holy Spirit can transform our enemies, if we don't believe that the Holy Spirit can provide for us when we give to the one who has just taken our cloak, also our tunic, if we don't believe the Holy Spirit can do that, then we don't believe the Holy Spirit is all-powerful. We don't believe that God has the power to do whatever it is that God wants to do. We don't believe in the omnipotence of God if God does not have the power to transform our enemies into our friends, to transform our enemies into our loved ones, and to produce love where there once was hate. If we don't believe God can do that, then we don't worship or follow an omnipotent, all-powerful Lord. So strive to be blessed this week. That would be my encouraging note for today. Strive to turn the other cheek. Desire to, and I know I'm going to face the same sort of problems and struggles this week that any and every one of you that are listening is going to face. But desire to, and don't just write it off as, well, God will forgive me if I slap this person back who just slapped me, or I curse this person who just cursed me, or I cuss out the person that just cussed me out. Don't say, well, God will forgive me since I'll just respond this way. Truly, earnestly strive. Stop and take that breath, stop and count to 10 before you choose to respond. Don't hold on so tightly when somebody tries to take it away. But trust that God is going to provide for you in your poverty, and trust that God is going to provide you for you in your weeping, and trust that God is going to lift you up and praise you with his power and bless you with his grace when others denounce you because you have responded weakly or like some kind of coward. Strive to respond to your enemies as Jesus responded to them, no matter what the earthly consequences may be, because in so doing, you store for yourself treasures and blessings in heaven. Let us pray. Almighty God, it is so easy for us to respond as Christians in the same way that the world does. But keep ever in our minds and ever in our hearts the fact that you don't call us to be just Christians. You call us to be disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. So help us live out these commands of Jesus when we face adversity this week and all the rest of the days of our lives. Help us not to beat ourselves up when we happen to fail, but help us to always desire to respond in the way that we know by your present spirit in our hearts that Jesus would have us to respond. Help us, Almighty God, pray for those who curse us. Help us to bless those, Almighty God, who mistreat us. And help us, Almighty God, be willing to turn the other cheek, trusting that you will provide for us, trusting that if you can change our hearts, then you can change the hearts of our enemies and all of those that we meet. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to First Day. Join us on Monday mornings at 7:30 on 100.7 WVSA or at 9 a.m. on our website, firstday.us, where you can also listen to previous episodes, comment, and connect with us and others. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Link, like, and subscribe at iTunes Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Spotify, and Radio Public. If you are not part of a community of faith, I encourage you to seek out others who can journey with you into the life that God wants you to have in Jesus Christ. So until next time, this is Patrick Cooley, pastor of Vernon First United Methodist Church, reminding you that God is starting something new in you.